So, birthday, you get presents, right? Christmas, you get Christmas presents. When I was a child, my family lived overseas, my whole childhood. And so our relatives would send my mother checks to buy us Christmas presents. And what she got us was what we needed, pants and socks. So it was really exciting and special when we got a box of presents from America. And one year, a box came from my godmother, and it contained boxes a foot long for my sister's presents. They were these nice boxes like this that said, to Mary and to Jane. But the box that was for me, for Anna, was a little one like this. And just looking at them, I was so jealous of my sister's larger presents. Bigger is better. When we opened them, their boxes had Barbie dolls. And my box had a piece of jewelry. Even though the jewelry was much more valuable, looking at them, I was still jealous of my sister's larger presents, because bigger is better. Even though the Barbies would lose their attraction and my jewelry would last up through today, I was still envious that because they had bigger boxes and they had something they could play with immediately. I was so disappointed with my Christmas present because it was smaller and it didn't give me any immediate gratification. I recently saw a car commercial that was glorified as being a great gift to give someone. And the big problem with it was too big to wrap. Bigger is better when it comes to gifts, was the message. And so is immediate gratification. And so, how will we judge our Christmas present from God, who says, here, a child has been born for you, a son given to you. Authority rests on his shoulders, and he is named Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Your gift from God comes with endless peace attached. And how's that working? Well, when Jesus was born, they really didn't think they needed peace because there was world peace. It was called the Pax Romana. Peace imposed by the soldiers of the Roman Empire. Everyone had to follow the laws of Rome or be crushed. No dissent allowed. Peace, but at the price of freedom. Other empires have bought peace that way throughout history, right up to today. But into world history comes this gift of a new way of bringing peace. Set into real time, real history, with real enforcers of the Pax Romana, Augustus Caesar and the Syrian governor Quirinius, into that moment in history comes the infant Jesus, bringing the Pax Christi, the peace of Christ, a peace achieved by love, sacrificial love, that lays down its life instead of threatening lives. Now, that's not the way history generally works. Emperors and governors are apt subjects for history book narratives. They're the ones that we read about when we study history. Unwed teenage mothers and their vulnerable babies are not. Yet, this gospel story from Luke that we read sets his story amid these powers and principalities of his age to make that very claim about the power of love, to set the Pax Romana against the Pax Christi. And that's the message to the shepherds. God comes to bring peace on earth. Yes, but this Prince of Peace doesn't come wrapped in a sword and armor. He comes wrapped in baby clothes, not packaged on a war horse or a tank, but in a manger crib. This was a disappointing messianic arrival for people of the first century, and things haven't changed much in 2,000 years. Perhaps you and the rest of us who yearn for world peace are disappointed in this Christmas gift. Not big and shiny and hard to wrap, but small and shabby. Perhaps you look at Jesus and you're secretly disappointed in your Christmas gift from God. What kind of a Messiah, what kind of a Savior would a God send who would allow the terrible things that happen to innocent people, you may ask? On the other hand, we might turn the question on ourselves. What kind of people are we who allow so much innocent suffering in our world? Allow children who have nowhere safe to sleep. Allow oppressive government regimes to starve people into submission. Our Christmas celebration each year is an expression of a renewal of our hope that we will be changed. Changed enough that we will act to change a world that's hungry for change. There's a movement to change the kind of gifts that we give these days. Not the gift of an item, but the gift of an experience, a meal, a trip, tickets to a show. The idea is that things break or become obsolete or get used up, but an experience lives in your memory forever. It's a gift that's eternal, as anything in this finite world could be. And that's our gift from God at Christmas, an experience that's eternal. For this little baby, somehow, in some miraculous way, really is God, the creator of the world, eternally in our past, present, and future. And the miracle of this Christmas is that there are still people who actually believe it and want it to be, and they want to be part of his mission to bring peace and goodwill to those that they're at odds with. There'll be a lot of heated political arguments this Christmas tide about which politicians represent the best hope for our country. But the message of Jesus' birth outside of Jerusalem and the power centers counters the belief that the world's hope lies in the hands of the rulers of this age, not in who gets elected, but the world's hope lies with you. Tonight, you are invited to put out your hands to receive Christ and allow Christ to become born in you, to become incarnate in you, to be born into your flesh. In Jesus, this holy God came to us as a common baby, like is born every day in camps and shelters and hospitals. This child, born to this young mother, will change the course of history, and the fates of leaders and common folk alike hang in the balance of his destiny. I need David's help for a minute here. Would you hold this, please? I have a gift here, right? Okay. And it's got a tag. And it says, a gift for you from God. I wonder what's in it. It's got a gold bow. What do you think of when you think of gold? Wealth? Jewelry? What do you think's in it?
Something valuable?
What do you think might be in this gift from God? What do you think God has to give us? Well, let's see what it is. Okay, I'll take this. You hold this. Okay. And there you go. And what's in here? Bread. A loaf of ordinary bread. Wouldn't cost very much to go buy. Not much of a present, right? And disappointing. But it does tell us something about God. It proclaims that the world's hopes lie in something simple, something always around. It proclaims that God has gifted us in order to redeem us from all iniquity and purify us as a people of God's own who are zealous for good deeds, said the Bible. Wow. That's what this gift is. It's a gift that purifies us for good deeds. And to enable those good deeds, God comes to us tonight in Jesus, in this ordinary bread, baked in a kitchen just like yours, from flour you can buy in the store. And God gives you this bread as the most valuable Christmas gift you will ever get, baked with love and with a prayer that it will strengthen you in your faith and for the ministry God calls you to in your daily life, where you can change the world each day. Jesus is given for you. Along with all those gifts from God of eternal life and peace and love and hope and joy, given for you and to you from God. Merry Christmas.